Good morning, church. And it's true what Carolyn's been saying, that the reality of it all is that, like, God created everything and he wrote the rule book. And so he loves you, and so you can be sure that if you follow the rule book, then you're going to be blessed. So
this is going to bug everybody throughout the service.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Like me, but the same issue.
All right, well, looks like, you know what, there's a correlation here between from now and the last time I preached on this topic, and the church was half empty then and the church is half empty now. The other half. So, no, I happen to know where people are. Step Up for MS is on today, and you know, our very dearly beloved Gabe has MS, and so a lot of people have rebelliously left church today to go and raise money for him. I'm not jealous. I'm a bit jealous. Not really. It's a good cause. We love Gabe, and that's where they all are. I don't know why they do these things on Sunday. I don't know. Why don't they do them on a Saturday? What, are they not Christians? Come on. But that's where they are, and so God bless them. And look, they can always listen to the podcast. Is it recording? Can I just double check that now? Yeah, good. All right, fantastic. So, welcome to church today, and I hope you're blessed. Who was here and who's listened to the part one of this? When I spoke on finances last time. So, if you haven't, then you know I'm going to have to, because I want to recap, but I'm going to have to move along quite quickly, so I can't be as tactful, so please bear with me, buckle in, and don't get upset with me. But we've been on this journey this year of seeking God's face. That's what God has asked us to do, is to seek his face, seek intimacy with him. And for all of us, what that's meant is we want to go, for a lot of things, we've gone back to basics. We're going over the spiritual milk, and we've talked about subjects like complaining and grumbling and how what comes out of our mouth. We've talked about gluttony, and you know, Pastor Matthew Bowl touched on forgiveness, and you know, Dr. Ken Fish came last week, and even though he said he wasn't going to, he ended up talking about purity. You know, he talked about sin, transgression and iniquity, and he gave us all a chance to confess those things publicly and repent of them. And that's a very, very it's a powerful thing to do, particularly in terms of impurity. So, you know, one thing I've noticed about these things is actually they are milk. They are actually painfully easy to understand. And I use the word painfully easy because they are so easy to understand, but yet we still struggle. And I say we because I struggle too. And when we trip up over these things, it's not because we're ignorant, it's because we can't behave ourselves. And isn't that the truth? Do you know what? I have the knowledge to be rich and skinny, but I can't get the man in the mirror to behave himself. You know? Do you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. And what happens is when you have that problem, when you can't, when you know what to do but you can't do it, you have a problem in your heart that stops you from doing what you know you should do. It's a heart issue, not a mind issue. And so, look, I want to remind you today that who can ascend the holy hill of God and dwell in his innermost courts? Those with what? Clean hands and pure heart. So we're on this journey to purify this heart of ours. Now, that word purity, again, it means undiluted, unpolluted, unadulterated, holy, one thing. And we want to be wholly devoted to following Christ. We don't want to be polluted in any way, because any contaminants in our walk with Christ is going to bring about a block in our intimacy with him. And like Carolyn was pointing out earlier, anything like that, if we think that we can do it better than God, or if we know a better way than what God says, that's called idolatry, and it always ends up with us losing. Amen? So I just want to recap last time I spoke on this, because it was 5 weeks ago. We've had Mother's Day, we've had Missions Report, we've had Pastor Matthew Bolt, we've had Dr. Ken Fish, and so it's been a while. So if I can just recap, the first point is that debt equals slavery. And the Bible talks about it. It says in Proverbs 22:7 that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. And when you become, when you get yourself into debt, you know that you have to work and your options are limited because you have to work because you have to pay that debt back. If you're, the more debt you're in, the less options you have. And so debt becomes your master. And, you know, I remember in Matthew 7 somewhere, Jesus says something that it's pretty difficult to serve two masters. You know, you either love one and you hate the other, or you hate one and you love the other. But in Matthew 5:5, it says this, is that, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, that word meek in a conflict situation means that you forego your strength, you use the least amount of strength that you have in order to subdue someone so you don't hurt them, but you subdue your assailant. Now, when we're talking about meekness in terms of money, that means that you don't spend everything that you have. And biblical wisdom is this, is that God wants you to pay your taxes, pay your tithes, both to your family and to your church, and unique insight into that. God is as interested in you saving as he is in you tithing. That's a biblical truth right there. And then you save some for offering, and then what you have left, that lump that's left over, is what you're supposed to decide how you live on. So the Bible says, and don't get mad with me because it was the Bible who said it, in Proverbs 21:10, that there is treasure to be desired in the house of the wise, but a fool spends everything he earns. So if that's what the Bible delegates us to, someone who spends everything they earn, then even more so if we spend more than we earn and we live outside of our means rather than inside our means. So that scripture in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. You know, I went back and checked that statistic. The Jewish people are 1% of the world's population, but they own 30% of the world's wealth. That is one heck of a statistic. Why? Because they are meek in the way they do things and they inherit the earth. So if we are not meek with our finances, if we're the opposite, then what happens? The world inherits us. We become slaves to the system that the world works. And, you know, you may argue with me on that particular interpretation of that scripture, but if you can make a valid argument against what I've just said, then I don't know what I'll do. I'll go back to boiler making. I don't know. Because it's the truth. It's the truth of God. Is that it's that's why I say it's so painfully simple to understand these things, but it's very, very hard to do. Amen. And I listened back to my sermon and I want to put a disclaimer in before we go any further, so no one accuses me of making the gospel about works or making salvation about works. What you do with your stuff is not a salvation issue. Ephesians tells us that salvation is a free gift given to us by God so that no man may boast. But if you're only interested in getting into heaven by the skin of your teeth or with the smell of fire on your clothes, as Corinthians puts it, then you can go home now because you're not going to get anything out of today. And probably if that's true for you, you're in the wrong church also. And I'm not asking anyone to leave the church, but I'm just telling you, this is what we're about. Come to Divine Connection, you'll find that out. We live by assignment. We're about extending the kingdom of God. We're about not just showing up and doing things. We are about you living your full life in the presence of God. You know, and this is where this topic is tricky to talk about, because if you have a problem with money, then you think about this in terms of dollars and cents. If you don't have a problem with money, you think about this in terms of presence of God in your life. And you'll see, we'll get there in the end. But I want to be clear in that we're talking about this in the context of godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy 6 says. Godliness with contentment with what you have is of great gain. It's about the heart issue behind it all. Luke 12:15 says, guard yourself against every kind of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. But if you want to extend the kingdom of God, then what you do with your stuff really matters. For at least two reasons. The first is that if God needs to have your heart if you're going to be effective at all in the kingdom of God. That goes for any topic we talk about. Number two, it's pretty hard to answer the call of your master if you're busy working for the other one. Amen? And that's just the truth. You know, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad here. I'm not, you know, I'm in a process. I'm walking out of debt too. I'm learning this thing as we go. This is something that 3 years ago I knew nothing about. And because of that, we're in the mess that we're in. Not the mess that we're in anymore. I shouldn't say it like that. We've been in a mess and we're walking out of it. Amen? So there's no condemnation here. There's no judgment here. This is supposed to be a message that sets you free in your thinking. It changes what's in your heart. And then, like, it's almost like, again, the dollars and cents don't matter once your heart is set right. But we'll figure that out in a minute. So let's get into it, right? The first thing we have to understand is that God built the universe and everything in it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, God also created laws that govern the universe. Did you know that? Things like gravity, things like entropy, things like thermodynamics, time, that type of stuff. But you know, in Genesis 1:16, it says that he created two lights, two great lights, one to govern the day, one to govern the night. And we understand that is the sun and the moon. And the earth travels around the sun, and the moon travels around the earth. And because of that, we have seasons, we have tides, and the earth can sustain itself because of these things. He created these things so that the earth could keep going, could sustain itself. But there are also other laws, deep laws, that keep the world going around, which are perhaps less observable. But everything is still sustained by them, okay? So the first law is this. The first law is giving and receiving that I want to talk about today. Now, everything that creates or sustains life has to master the art of both giving and receiving. So you think about it. A tree receives CO2 and sunlight, and it gives back oxygen. The sea gives its tide, it takes it back. Rain clouds give us rain through evaporation, takes it all back again. The cycle continues. If a baby is to be born of any species, it requires a giver and a receiver. If you take air into your lungs and you don't give it back, you will pass out and your body will breathe again. It is a process of giving and receiving. If you eat three meals a day and you never go to the toilet, your kidneys will shut down and you will die. It's all part of life. Giving and receiving is as natural as anything else. Now, if this process breaks down, you'll die in some way. So if you're in a relationship and one of you is the giver and the other one is the receiver all the time, that relationship will not last. In a relationship, you both have to give all the time and you both receive all the time. You know, I mean, who here has ever... try to give somebody something that they wouldn't receive. So, you know, like, Matt, love the way you played guitar today. You know, love the way that you sang. And then Matt says to me, all glory to God, man, it wasn't me, all glory to God. You know, that sucks to me as the person giving the compliment because I want to attribute value to you and you're being humble, but, you know, I'm trying to give you a compliment here. You know, or if I know someone needs something material and I, like, you know, and I go and buy them groceries and I try to give it to them, they're too proud to accept it. That doesn't work, does it? We have to master both the art of giving and receiving to make the world go around. And if you only ever give and you never receive, you're going to be broke. And if you only ever receive and you never give, you're going to be lonely before long. Because if it passes, it, you know, like in every area of our life, God has made it so that the universe turns on giving and receiving. Amen, have I convinced you? Now, what is interesting to me is that we act, and I say we, like money is separate from the universe in this regard. You know, we have this heart issue when it comes to putting our hand in our back pocket to give it away. It hurts sometimes, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about? But in actual fact, it behaves the same way. The second law is this. For one thing to increase, another thing must decrease. And this is a law that we as Christians should know about. It's similar to the first one, but it's also different, right? So if I eat an apple, that apple had to die for me to continue living. If I eat a steak, same thing. Sorry, Chloe. Same thing. The cow had to die for me to continue living. You know, if you're a business owner, sometimes You have to put all your profits back into the business so that your employees have somewhere to work so that they can thrive. And so your business can thrive. But likewise, as an employee, sometimes you have to become less and give your weekends and your overtime so that your boss can thrive and so that the business you work for can thrive. You know, in many places of the world, Australia included, oftentimes both parents have to go to work all day, every day, and that's what their life is, just so that their kids can have an education, a roof over their head, and something to eat. And why do we do it? Why would you make yourself less like that? Why wouldn't you go and live your life however you want? Why would you make yourself less so that your kids can have a chance? It's because we understand these two things intrinsically, is that that is what makes the world go around. For something to increase, another thing must decrease. And this is a central doctrine of the Christian faith, because in order for you to sit there this morning as a Christian and have eternal life, for you to have attained that, Jesus Christ had to die. Amen? That is a central thing, is that for us to increase, Jesus had to decrease. God of the universe became a man, became his creation, dwelt among us, and was put on the cross to die for us so that we could have eternal life. Now 1 Peter 2, 18 to 21 says about this, it says, slaves, so let's read employees maybe, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. Let's read bosses, for example. Not only those who are good and considerate, because it's easy to submit to a good and considerate boss, isn't it? But those also who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That's an offensive scripture. I'm offended by that scripture. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you got a beating for doing wrong, that's not commendable. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And this is where it gets painful. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Don't worry, I'm right there with you. So this is why as Christians we need to pay attention to law number two. So we have an example in Christ and we have a calling to be continuously making ourselves less so that others can flourish. Did you know that today? This is important if you want to talk about finances, we've got to talk about this. Is that true happiness is found in making yourself less so that others can flourish. Hello? Now that seems so counterintuitive, doesn't it? I will make myself a doormat and that's how I'm going to be happy. Sounds so counterintuitive. But have you ever noticed how counterintuitive the kingdom of God actually is? The last will be first, the first will be last. Anyone who wants to be in charge has to be the servant of all. Bless those who persecute you. Love your enemies. The humble will be raised up, the proud will be brought low. He will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The kingdom of God is a topsy-turvy place. Let's just get it out of there. It is. And so, like, if you're as offended as I am right now, good. It means heart surgery is happening. You know, like, These two things is that one, if we want to succeed in life, if we want to be happy in life, if we want to do something that builds not just here but for eternity, we've got to understand these two laws. That giving and receiving in every area of our lives is how, you know, in order to receive, actually we first have to give. And I'll prove that to you in a second. And secondly is that in order for you to find fulfillment in life, you have to put others before yourself. Hello? Now, this is also a key to advancing in the kingdom of God. Okay? I can just tell you, anyone who's ever done anything, ever, ever, ever done anything worth doing for God will tell you that it didn't come for free. Amen? I'll prove it to you. So Let's turn to Luke 6, verse 37 and 38. And watch this. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and be poured into your lap, and with which the measure you used, it will be measured back to you. Now, I want to just have a look at this scripture for a second. Give judgment, receive judgment. Give condemnation, receive condemnation. Give forgiveness, receive forgiveness. We haven't talked about money once in the scripture yet. Whatever you give will be given back to you, pressed down, shaking, together, running over. You see, this is what I mean, and this is how I can prove it to you, that if you want to be happy, if you want to be promoted in the kingdom of God, if you want to be effective on the battlefield, then you have to make yourself less. And in making yourself less, God makes you more. So if I give honor, what do I receive? If I make someone happy, what happens? It comes back my way. Whatever I give, if I give like kindness, I receive kindness. If I give my money to something, what happens? God fixes my money issue. God fixes my money issue. We've gone quiet in here today. Boy, oh boy, wowie, we've gone quiet. Well, that's... So it works like this, though. Notice this. We give first, and then we get... You know what? Juliet has become a little bit of a crow recently. She likes anything that's shiny, and she used to pick up the coins that would fall out of our pockets and come and put them back in our pockets. But she's got this little bag that she puts them in now. And so she's been collecting money, and she's richer than me probably, but she's been collecting coins for quite a while now. And so, you know, the other day she was crying because she wanted more money, and I was like, me too, sister, honestly, like... And so what we did was we talked about it, and I thought this might be frivolous because she might be too young. But we got two cups and we wrote church and savings on one of them. And we decided that because she's 2 years old, she can have $2 a week. Okay, fair enough. You know, by the time she's 18, she'll be able to buy a Big Mac for herself on her spends every week. Okay, so that's how it works. But we counted out her money. Now, when you're a two-year-old, what's better? 10 20-cent pieces or one $2 coin? Every day. So what we did was I counted out her money, all that she'd pilfered from me, and I moved 10% here and I moved 10% there, and I said, I want you to give me this back. And she was not impressed. She did not want to give me that money back. I said, no, put it, you know, put it in this cup and put it in this cup. And then so eventually she did it. And when she did it, I gave her 10 whopping great big 20-cent pieces. And so I wanted to teach her that when we first give, that's when it comes. And so now every Friday, we bring the cups out, and she brings a bag, and I count it out for her, and she's straight in there with the money because she knows that once she's given, it comes back. Now, I wish someone had taught me that when I was her age. And imagine if we got that from the very word go, is that we trust that the way that money comes in is that we give it out. You know, the way that we, you know, like it's so integral. The way that we get, we help each other. Well, the way that we help ourselves, we help each other. If that makes sense. Like, if we're going to build this church, okay, if we want to build the kingdom of God, if we want to extend this kingdom of God, which is, by the way, the only thing I'm really interested in, and that when we're talking about money, it's because we're talking about I want you to be free to be able to live your maximum life of blessing and just on fire for God and being as effective as you can for God. Now, if we want to build this church, then I can't do it with you serving me. I can't do that if you serve me. If you're in a position of leadership, the Bible tells us that you have to be the servant of all. So I have to give of myself to build you so that you can be sent. That's what healing, training, and sending is, isn't it? Okay, and so if that's the model that the Bible gives us, then that's the model we should all adopt. If we want to build this kingdom of God, if we want to build this, this church and everything else in it, then it comes from you giving of yourself. If you want to build your children, you have to give yourself into your children. If you want to build your marriage, you have to give of yourself. Okay? Is that all right so far? So remember the parable of the shrewd manager. I'm not going to go there, but the parable of the shrewd manager, the basic moral of the story is he who's faithful with the little can be trusted with much. So this, when we come to money again here, if you haven't dealt with what it is in your heart that makes you need to have more than you can afford, then giving you more money is not going to fix that problem. It's going to make it worse. If I give you 10 times more money, you're going to make it 10 times worse on yourself, because it's not about the money. It's about the heart issue, and it has a name, and I'm going to offend you again. That name is greed. The reason why we want to live on more than we have is because we're greedy. Okay, we are greedy. I'm greedy. Okay? I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm just talking about the principles. We can't expect that God is going to give us more if we still have this principle in our heart that we need more than what we need to live on. Because that's, you've missed the point, and we can't be expected to be promoted to govern more if we can't govern the little that we have now. Amen? So I want to point to something about how we fix it. Matthew 6, 20 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy nor thieves break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this is where it comes to. If we notice that there's a dysfunction in our heart that drives us to need more than we can afford, that should tell us that we have a problem. Okay? Now, it's a problem that can't be fixed with more stuff. Okay, so what we try to do normally is we try to pursue more stuff, pursue more avenues, or whatever. And even this is why I want to talk about the heart, because even I could sit here and I read this book called The Barefoot Investor. I recommend it. It's not a Christian book, but I still recommend it. And I could tell you how to, I could just regurgitate what Scott Pape says, and it would work for you. But the problem is it wouldn't fix the issue that's in your heart. And that's the problem here, is the issue that's in your heart is what's blocking your intimacy with God, and it's actually blocking the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? And that's what's important. Now, there's a practical solution here in Matthew 6, 21 to 22. It doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. It says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So, That tells me that, I went to this presentation once and a person said to me, like, it was for this company called Skyway. They were going to make $500 million in the next few years, and they were going to make monorails that go 4,000 kilometres an hour, and we were going to, and they wanted me to buy in and everything like that. And I was talking to a person about it, and they said to me, you know what? What excites me about this is when I get rich from this, I can help my friends. I can help my friends. That's what I want it for. That's what I really want it for. I just want to help my friends. And I was like, you fibber. If your heart was towards helping your friends, you'd be doing it already. Because what happens is, and what the truth is that I can tell where your heart is according to the Bible by looking at your savings account, by looking at your bank statement. Where your treasure is, your heart is too. My brother, he bought like 4 different cryptocurrencies. He thought he'd have a flutter on them. And I worked with him for a day, and he checked his phone, I'm not kidding you, like 10 times that day looking at his crypto, see how they moved. In a day, he was checking his phone to see if they've gone up or down. Now, they're pretty volatile stocks, but why was he so interested in it? He doesn't check his phone and see how I'm doing 10 times a day. Because his treasure is there. His treasure's there, and so his heart is there. And so this is the thing. You're going, if we're going like, oh man, I don't know how to break this cycle, it's this thing, it's actually very practical, and you don't need to be convinced of it first, you just need to do it. If you want healing in your heart, if you want God to change your heart about something, you've got to put treasure into it. You've got to position yourself, you've got to put your treasure into it, and then God says your heart will follow. See, we're praying, God, change my heart, and then I'll put my treasure there. God says, put your treasures there, and I'll change your heart. Amen? It's simple, isn't it? I want to look at this this one last scripture before. Well, actually, there's something else I've got to say, and then this is just something that was a thought that came up to me that was interesting. So if we say that we're interested in extending the kingdom of God, and if we say we're interested in living for eternity and not this life, which we do, amen, and we should be able to prove that in black and white. And if we say that our heart is pure in regards to finances and we trust God and we believe the Bible, then we should be able to prove that in black and white, amen. I mean, that's a biblical metric right there that we can test ourselves against. Don't worry, I'm as triggered as everyone else. It's just the truth. And if it isn't, then what we're saying to ourselves really is this, is that I know the natural laws that govern the universe are there. I know they're there because we all know they're in there intrinsically. However, I have found a way to circumvent those laws, and I found a better way. I found a way to live outside of God's rule, and I found a better way. And when you think about it like that, that's why I say it's painfully easy to understand, because that's silly, isn't it? But I want to talk about one more scripture which has blown my mind. Malachi 3:10. Now, we've heard this scripture a million times. It says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so there is food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Let me ask you a question. If I had every dollar in the world, every rand, every baht, every yen, every pound, every euro, every bit of currency in this world, if I bought all the banks, if I owned all the countries, if I owned the gold in every mine and the cattle on every hill, would I have enough room to store it? Yes, because it's there already. Not at my house, no. I'd have to have a big house. But the promise is this. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that there will not be enough room to store it. What is he talking about? He's not talking about money. And this is it. If you thought money, you have the dollars and cents mindset. He's talking about pouring out his spirit on your life. He's talking about pouring out his blessing on the earth. And I promise you this, is that if you want God to move on this earth, it's going to cost you something. You have to become less so that it can become more. If you want God to move in your heart, you've got to put your treasure there. If you want God to move in this church, you've got to put your treasure here. If you struggle with your high attitude towards someone or something, put your treasure there and watch God change your heart towards it. And what happens is he promises you this, I'll pour out so much blessing on you that it will overflow over you because you won't have enough room to store it. I will change your life radically. I will change everything about what you thought you knew. Amen? You see, because what happens if the problem is not a dollars and cents issue? What happens if it's a problem about godliness with content is great gain? What if it's a problem with contentment? And what if God could change that in your life? And when he changed that, that's basic step one on the rung. And you started doing what he said. He goes, you know what? I can trust you with more. I can give you more anointing. I can give you more responsibility. You can handle more of my finances in the kingdom because I know you're going to do the right thing with them. I know you're not going to spend it on interest to banks. I know you're not going to spend it on whatever. I know you're going to do what I say you're going to do. Amen? Amen. Who wants the outpouring of the Spirit in their life? I'll be honest with you, it's all I care about. It's all I care about. There's someone who wants it at the back there. That's okay, get noisy. But church, listen, I have a very practical thing to ask you for now. And I hope that, and I pray that this is what happens, okay? I hope and I pray that you've heard what I said today and it made sense to you, went into your spirit, okay? I hope that you get that what I'm trying to say is that this is a freedom issue, not a salvation issue. Okay, you want to be free. You don't want to have things holding you down like negative mindsets and like debt and like those things. And so when we talk about everything from forgiveness to sin and iniquity and transgression to grumbling and complaining to gluttony, all of these things are idols in our life that we must address so that we can move forward in this walk with God and with intimacy with God. Amen? And so this is just another thing where God has shown us that he's requiring from us purity within this area of our life. Amen? Now, you have an opportunity today because for those of you who were here on the 3rd of this month when we called a vision meeting, we made an important announcement about our 60 community services. And for the sake of those who can't make it, I've prepared a revised statement about it. And before we go there, I'm not going to give this room to breathe. Not one red cent will go to me before you even think that, before you allow the enemy to think. But I've got to give you a report, and please just listen to me as I ask. In the past 10 months, I-60 has distributed 48,678 meals to 2,289 families in a tight spot through Friend in Need. Now that's worth praising God about. Through stand-up paddleboarding, 384 people have been out on the water this season, and many of them ministered to, even bringing some to church and to salvation. Sandy Kennedy, give me a wave. Praise God for you. Through Fit for Work, 93 long-term unemployed persons were ministered to in four separate regions. That's huge. And FIFO workshops ran 17 programs in two locations, impacting 34 families. Now, this has truly allowed us to take the kingdom of God and, in certain situations, the gospel out into the world where it's most needed. And so it's volunteers who've taken up the call to be missionaries in their context that have done most of the work. And it has allowed us to be effective in ways that we would otherwise not be able to as a church. That's just the reality of it. And we should be very proud of everyone at the team at I-60 and their services and their sacrifice to live out the gospel. So, you know, without calling them out and embarrassing them, why don't we give them a hand? I did Friend in Need a couple times, and I've got to tell you, that is an exercise in making yourself less so that others can benefit. That's hard work. And so God bless everyone who does Friend in Need. you know, really, that is that's where the rubber hits the road with the gospel. So our 60 community services has been sustained up to now by our missions giving, through private donations and through invoicing companies that we have provided services to meet the needs with its programs. Not only does it do the work, it has to find the funds to keep itself running. So including administration costs, insurances, wages and other expenses, I-60 has a substantial running cost. And this is particularly true for the Fit for Work program, as it's required hiring trainers, increasing infrastructure just to meet the work. Now, at the end of last year, the companies I-60 were dealing with lost their funding, which directly affected the Fit for Work program. And this was supposed to be temporary, but it hasn't come back online yet. And that deadline has been continuously extended, which has created a situation for I-60 where decisions have to be made regarding how to continue forward with the burden of infrastructure and insurance, but no funding coming in. Today, there is still no start date for the programs, and it has caused I-60 to go into debt. We were trying to be faithful, and the promises that we were promised didn't come through. The decision that was made that if things hadn't changed by the end of this financial year, that I-60 would have to cease operations because it could no longer sustain itself. We can't continue. And this would be a tragedy because it would mean that we would stop the relief that we provide to so many in our region and beyond. The application to run Fit for Work is still pending, and we are hopeful that it will be accepted. But until such a time as the program has billable hours, I-60 will not be able to service its debt or continue running programs. And if it's forced to cease operations, the outstanding debt will remain with no avenue to pay it. So, church, I'm asking you to pray. I ask you to give your prayers that this will not eventuate. And this situation calls for some urgency on our part, which is why we called the vision meeting on the 3rd of this month. We want to provide an opportunity for you to sow seed into I-60. And we realise that it's just unrealistic that from us to expect to cover the whole bill, although I'm not limiting God. But what I'm asking you to do today is to plant a seed into the future of I-60. Because I believe that where God sees our seed, when we move first, he will give back to us in kind. And like, if I-60 shuts down, if it can't continue, that's going to be a devastating blow for us as a church. Because we are about extending this kingdom of God. And there are thousands of people who have been reached in the last year alone by I-60 services, by the volunteers. And it's unfortunate, but in this world, the way things work is that bills have to be paid. So we're believing that God is going to come through with this finance. This is not going to be the sole source of the answer. But we're asking you, church, that next week we're going to take up an offering. It's the end of financial year. And if you want to make a donation to I-60, you can. And look, if you make it to I-60, you can get a refund on for your tax return. You can get the tax deductible slip, the receipt, if that's important to you and if you want to do that. But church, I'm asking today for a practical application to what we've just heard. And I'm looking out and I'm wondering about heartstrings today. Because I just pray that God pour out blessing on you more than you could ever contain. That's what I want for you. And sometimes it means we have to do something difficult. Sometimes it means we have to do something that we don't want to do. But this is part of Matthew 6:21, is that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So if today, I just want you to ask God and listen to him, What does he want you to give? What does he want you to sow in? What seed are you going to plant? What are you going to give so that he can give back to you? Do you know what? You know what? The seed I would like to plant and what I would like to give back, I would like to see a harvest of souls come from the work that I60 does. I don't necessarily want to see, put $100 in, I get $1,000 out. I don't want to see that necessarily. I'm interested to see a harvest of souls. Amen. And I'm praying for your heart, and I'm praying for your eternity, that you build into that, you store those treasures there in eternity. And so next week we're going to ask we're going to take up an offering. We'll email this statement out to everyone. And please go and pray about it and see what God would have you, you know, put towards that. But I pray that that God would meet you at your level of faith. Okay? Proverbs 11:25, for a generous soul will prosper, and those that refresh others will then themselves be refreshed. So church, this started out, the first message I preached on this, I had like 15 minutes worth of disclaimers promising you that I meant well and didn't want to judge you, and I had to talk about a topple of sacred cow. And today I've talked about it and hopefully I've toppled some even more. You know, like, please understand here that I care about your eternity. I care about your heart and the way you operate in this world. And I want peace to rule in your life. I want joy to rule in your life. And you know, I know, because I've been in debt, that what happens with debt and with thinking the wrong way about money is it actually builds walls around your mind about what is possible for your life. You know, you look at a guy like Alejandro or Ken Fish and you go, I could never do that. How did you travel around the world? I have to, whatever. You got walls around your mind. You know, I pray God bless you with imagination about what you could do if you partner with him. I pray that he take off your limitations that you've put on yourself and your mind and in your circumstances. And I pray that he meets you where you are, and that this time next year, we will have nothing but testimonies about how faithful God is. Amen. Amen. Be free, be blessed. I love you very much. Church, thank you for listening to me. And if you have any questions, just come and ask me. But God bless you. Amen.